one of those nights that got a little rough, or maybe the next morning got a little rough. So he was a little slow on the promo code, but it got released yesterday on Twitter. People listening to this now, you're not going to get the ultimate promo codes because he did 10 free shipments for people that use the State Champs promo code. Then five people who used Shade Tree as a promo code.
Yeah, my man.
Support Marvin Jones, who was honored at the game. They got 55% off of any order of $55. Those don't apply to you. Those have all been taken up. Everybody else.
So there, get you some of that. Get a, or not.
The message is get on Twitter and follow Register Sausage on Twitter. But everybody else, 20% off if you use the promo code THECLIMB in all caps.
Oh, wow.
You get 20% off your order at registermeats.com. Again, you can get the jalapeno cheddar. You can get the andouille.
Andouille.
Bryce likes the jalapeno cheddar the most. He likes hot stuff. I'm proud of him. He likes anything spicy, good, even at a young age.
He's a man. And, becoming one.
Yeah, but you got the short links. You can do it for breakfast, lunch, dinner, any time of day. Midnight snack, we recommend that,
forget
right?
Forget about it. It's beautiful.
Register Sausage. And if you're in the Southeast, Florida, South Georgia, across the Carolinas and Alabama, go into your local grocery store. They should have it as well. And if they don't, pick a different grocery store because they suck.
Yeah. Oh, that store does suck if they don't have it. Yeah, that's true. You know, let's before we get into the meat and potatoes of the victory,
I want to meet the meat and potatoes.
Yeah, let's say this though. Wasn't it awesome seeing Shade Tree, seeing Marvin Jones get emotional?
And how much it meant to him.
Oh, man, I almost choked up because that's my guy. That is my guy. And so to see him so emotional, I was so happy for him, man. He clearly was touched by that.
Sure would have been cool if his son was out there on the field with him in the
uniform.
Well,
that's next year.
Okay,
the transfer portal's about to happen. Okay. We'll get him. It'll be all right.
What's interesting about that, and you guys would know this better than I would, but apparently, I was talking to Jim Lamar yesterday, our good buddy Jim Lamar.
Yeah, good old Jim.
And he was saying one of the things that he thought was neat about that was at the end of the game when they interviewed Norvell on the field on TV, Marvin's just like standing behind him kind of being security. Like he's taking care of Norvell.
Nobody's going to mess with Marvin Jones.
Right.
But he also said that just the way he was acting like as kind of like a fanish, he said that Marvin was like that when he covered him when Jim was at the Democrat. He said Marvin kind of always had like a – kind of, gosh, I can't believe I'm here. Kind of, you know, he never had an attitude like I'm God in football. Like he enjoyed it. Like he was kind of like childlike in that respect.
And I'll add to that because that is very true. And I know that because I've run into Marvin a few times. He knows that I have said on the air that he's my favorite player. And so a few times that I've seen him since that time, I'll see him like, Marvin, and he's so funny. He's like, Jeff Cameron, and he'll laugh. He'll go, keep talking good things about me. But he likes to be recognized as a Knoll. Like, he loves that. He loves fans. It means a lot to him. Right.
So that's cool to see.
Yeah, it was really cool. That was all part of a special night. Game, obviously, was, titillating to say the least.
Ooh, very titillating.
It was a game that, you guys know, I went with my dad and the kids, and we were just fans screaming. And as that goes, you couldn't have got a better game. I could have done without the stress. But a win is a win is a win.
For a minute, it looked like they needed Marvin to get out there to stop Etienne. And that Florida running game was a little difficult.
Not a good look for the defense. And that is something that we'll all talk about in the offseason.
Yeah, we got a lot of time to address that bad boy.
Yeah, a lot of time to think about what has to get better and what changes will come. But first things first, let's just talk about what they did do, which is, I think, you know, they cemented this thing in a lot of ways. And I know it was talked about, Ira, in your column, where that third quarter, they showed a lot of what for there, and I use that term all the time. Like, they took control of the game. Now, admittedly, Florida fought back, but the ebbs and flow of that game showed what a mature group Florida State's become. Like, in particular, Jordan Travis is the superstar of the game because he was unwavering no matter what the guys did around him, like, fail him repeatedly. Yeah. And yet he continued to make play after play. It was like you knew that dude is the best player on the field and he will not lose tonight. And that was so cool to see. And that's what gets people excited about going into next year.
I was
going to
say, it's cool to have a guy like that on your team. Ooh. It's been a minute.
Yeah, he's a freak way.
But really, the whole team, especially after what we saw earlier this season, in those moments, like the end of the first half and then the start of the second half where nobody could make a play against Clemson. Nobody on either side of the ball could just stem that tide. And this time they did on both sides of the ball, forcing a field goal before halftime and then coming out and just, you know, dominating that third quarter.
Yeah, it was something I didn't know I hadn't seen from the team, right? I think we'd seen so much growth from the start of the season or from last year to now. That was the one thing I hadn't thought we'd seen was a team that played really badly and got out of the rut and didn't let them go on a big run. See, that's what I was afraid of, is that, okay, Florida scores before half, and they go down the field and score again. Okay, well, now you're down 10, and you're really panicking.
But it didn't happen.
And if you don't score now, they go up 17, ball game. That's happened to them before.
Oh, yeah.
So for them to handle that moment, come out of the half and get that three and out, and score 17 straight.
17 to nothing 17 in the third quarter.
Unanswered. They were not unanswered.
They were not.
Because they did, in fact, get unanswered.
They were unanswered in the third quarter.
Well, that's true. And then they were answered in a big way in the fourth.
Yeah.
And then you answered their 14 unanswered right. with that last touchdown.
With a little seven of your own. That's right. And that remained unanswered.
And that remained unanswered for 364 days.
It all illustrates the point. The problem with saying unanswered.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah.
So, but that was my favorite part of the game, other than, I guess, the last drive. That was my favorite part of the game, because it was – I just was like, I'd seen this movie before. Big game, a lot of hype, and this team just is not going to quite rise to the moment. And that and the defense certainly hadn't in the first half. To get three straight three and out. Shaheem Brown making that pass breakup. I think that's perfect timing. Might have been a tick before the ball got there, but I think that's a great play. They made plays on defense, and then the offense was the offense. I mean, the offense just steamrolled down the field because they have a really good play caller, an offensive line that's hard to fathom, and then one of the best quarterbacks in America. That's a fun thing to watch.
And when you're judging about what plays into next year, I mean, I believe Jordan Travis will be back next year. And if that's the case, I actually think, in addition to, you know, what we've saw for him this year, not only as a player, but then that leadership and the toughness mentally and all that other stuff that we're talking about in this game, but that offensive line, I think, has a chance to be better next year. And I do. I like a lot of the young guys, and I also think they're going to bring somebody else in. I'm speculating here. I do think they'll bring another couple in. And I think with Armella starting, they're going to be much better off anyhow, because I think he's a pretty dynamic player and has a chance to really take even a bigger step forward, because all of the skills he possesses is better than anybody else on that offensive line. And so, you know, he didn't have to do much this year, which is nice. And he'll be bigger and stronger and more talented. Anyhow, I think if that is the case, then you can kind of write that in pen that they're going to be good on offense again next year, because you have receivers and you got Benson and you've got Jordan Travis, and I think the offensive line will be as good, if not better. Defensively is where all the question marks are going to come into play. And, you know, that I don't know, and we'll have to wait and see who they bring in the transfer portal and who decides to leave this roster.
I think there's a chance, though, their offense could be so good. Not that it doesn't matter. You always want a good defense. But their offense could be one of the five or seven best offenses in the country, that as long as the defense holds teams to 27, you're going to win almost all of them. That's how good this offense could. You know, that's how good this offense should be if Jordan Travis is back with all these weapons.
Something I was thinking about on Monday when I was listening to you and Aslan on Wake Up War Chant, which people can watch.
Yeah, nice plug.
Yeah,
was that
well done?
You know, you were kind of talking about the defense and how there were some busted plays, and it's like, you know, you were kind of appalled at, you know, seeing those busted plays, which is fair. And I think we hadn't seen them in a long time. But then realize that this offense does that to teams every single week. Like, every single week.
There's Cam McDonald just running free. I mean, how does that happen?
It happens every week, where Jordan's got two or three big throws or runs where there's just nobody on that side of the field. So that's what college football is. But now you have one of those offenses.
Yeah.
Even when Jimbo was here, they didn't have one of those offenses.
No.
They had to execute.
Tight windows in Jimbo's offense.
And they
offense.
Could execute because they had Jesus at quarterback. I mean, that's how they could.
And when it worked, it was really it was effective.
It was unbelievable.
But there were not those. You didn't get the free 40-yarders. Well, this offense gets them every week.
That's been a lament, I think, of most Florida State fans for a long time, because if you flip around college football, you see it happen all the time. Like, that dude's just running scot-free. Yeah. This year you saw it a lot with Florida State. They do a great job with play calling. They also really do a good job at creating mismatches. That's what this offense does really well. They create mismatches. And you know, that's something that will continue going into next season. Mike Norvell is a very good play caller. He just is. And he and Atkins obviously work very well together. All of my concerns will pretty much be on the other side of the ball.
What's crazy about that game on Friday night is I didn't even think the running attack was very – it wasn't what it had been. It wasn't very good against a defense that's not very good. I thought they didn't play all that well.
They had a tough time on both lines of scrimmage.
Yeah, and then you look up, like, oh, they ran for 235 yards and had 500 yards, 45 points, and probably should have had at least 56. Like, you had a drop touchdown. You had Cam dropping a first down pass that would have been at the 4-yard line.
Yeah.
Like, just 56. You left 11 or 14 points on the board, and you still scored 45. And I didn't even think the offense was over. I didn't think it was operating at peak efficiency.
Yeah, it wasn't humming.
And he scored 45. I mean, it was the second most you've ever scored against them.
Yeah, it's a lot about your offense. Also about how bad their defense is. But again,
it's a lot about your offense.
They put a lot of guys in positions to succeed every week.
They had 2-3 and outs. This offense over the last five games, the starting offense had 2-3 and outs.
That's incredible.
And I would note, and that is a great number. It's an incredible stat.
I'm not sure if it's accurate.
I was going to say,
did you just make
it's
that
awesome
up?
If it is? I'm rolling with it.
They only had one 3 and out going into this last game. I don't think they had a 3 and out against Florida except for right when Florida State right. made it. Florida made it 38-31.
Yeah, when they needed to
they
not
needed
have
to
a
not
three
have
out.
A 3 and out. They had a 3 and out. So I think that was only their second one of the last 5 games.
So Till Dog writes and contributes. We appreciate that. We need to bring back the badass Todd Reboul and Darryl Bush type linebackers to scrape and fill those holes.
Maybe a Kurt Carruthers.
Well, I think you got a number of guys that you could harken back to in the history of this program with great linebackers that they have not had in some time, and it is frustrating. And linebacker is a position that everybody would be right to point to and say, that's got to get a lot better. I think this game exposed, Ira brought it up correctly, I thought Florida's offensive line dominated Florida State's defensive line. I don't think
it
was much
of a matchup.
Yeah,
that wasn't great to see.
Well,
as you move forward, as you think, you won the game, so big whoop for Florida. Great, you dominated the defensive line.
In some ways, it's good to see. In some ways, it's really important to see.
And they had a good offensive line. They coming into it, that was one of their real strengths. Of their team.
Yeah, those dudes are mean too. They're kind of a nasty bunch.
Do you think, guys? Let me ask you to speculate a little bit. One of the guys that got dominated was Jared Verse, and that's a good tackle that he faced and was dominated by. But that would open your eyes. Like, I wonder if that ends up affecting his grade.
Well, let's hope. Wouldn't that be something?
It's
like, hey,
man,
you're not going
to
get drafted.
But I will be curious to see if it only takes one team to say, no, we think you're a first rounder. We know that, you know, you've got growth that's still ahead of you and we'll take our chances. But I wonder there because that was a technically proficient tackle who just really dominated him. And I'm kind of curious to see what happens. There's a chance they get him back. Like if he were to be projected mid-second, late second, does he come back? Because I think his potential is certainly to be as he's been projected.
Top 10 pick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I wonder.
Sorry, I'm a little distracted by our latest message in the chat from Jaredine.
Oh, man.
What? You want to?
She has 500,000 pounds in her bank
account. Some kind of bank account.
And she'd like to donate it. We should jump on this, fellas, live
like
on the air
scam.
Right now.
What?
Corey, why do you think that's a scam?
No, it sounds like we're scamming someone. Like, hey, just give us $500,000.
If we're interested in her donation,
let her know that we'd like that donation.
Let's save this, and during the break,
we're going to figure some stuff out.
Yeah, see if we can't get that. I'll give her my bank account number, and she can just put the money right in.
But to give you an idea, the offensive line, so they had a kid that transferred, the Braun kid, went in the transfer portal, who has started for them in the past, and he's not playing anymore. He goes in the portal, and Florida State's one of the schools trying to get him to come to
come
Florida
on,
State.
Baby.
So that gives you an idea, and he's not even playing.
Yeah.
So they have a good offensive line.
Well,
it's similar to the Dylan Gibbons
situation.
I was
just about to say, it's just what happened with Dylan Gibbons. Yeah, they do have a good offensive line, and we did bring that up before the game, was that I thought it would be interesting to see how Florida State decided to play it, because A, I think that they were going to protect AR, plus he's mobile, but my bigger concern coming into the game was how successful are they just running the ball straight ahead?
And they were very successful.
Yeah, and that's a problem.
Much to the chagrin of people in the stands.
So let me ask you this about the linebackers, though. How much of it is when your defensive line is not holding up?
Sure.
I mean, it makes playing linebacker really difficult.
Well,
and the linebackers that these guys mentioned in the chat, the Reboles and Darryl Bush.
Yeah,
and
they were
guys,
playing behind some dudes.
Had pretty good dudes up front.
Yeah, they were clean.
Yeah,
they were clean most days.
Yeah, they were getting a lot of bodies on them.
Yeah. Well, Ray Lewis was very successful in Baltimore because he was a good player and he was clean all the time. Nobody was getting to
Tony
the second
Siragusa
level.
And those dudes were.
That helped. It helped. Listen, I think it's both, though. I really do. I don't think they're very good at linebacker. They're better this year than they've been, without question. But they're not deep. They were never deep. They got two guys that you could depend on, and they're not elite linebackers. They're just productive and decent linebackers.
Way better than what we've had.
Way better, without question. That's an area. Now, they did go out and get the Nicholson kid, who I think is going to be a really good football player.
But not next year. You can't count on a true freshman.
Usually you can't. His body type is interesting, man. He may be able to come in and play. Maybe one of those types of guys. We'll see. But
either way, it's not somebody you count on. You're like penciling in to start.
Yeah, that's the answer.
With Bethune walking, I mean, I guess we assume he – I mean, it doesn't mean that he's leaving, but he's probably leaving. So you're going to have to replace him. And I just think you go into this portal season. I mean, I feel like
Let's do this. Listen, we've got some things. There's practices this week that you guys will be at on Wednesday
tomorrow,
and Thursday.
Wednesday and Thursday.
So it'll be very telling who's at practice and who's not, for starters.
Yeah.
So we can't kind of do the whole portal we know thing just yet, but we can certainly talk about and you know, kind of get into the areas that we think are the biggest areas of needs for them to hit in the portal right here, right now.
Based on who we think would probably leave.
Who we think is probably leaving, and who we know is, we know a few people are leaving. So we'll do that next. Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV continues in a moment.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends, so for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
All right, let's speculate a little bit here and talk about the transfer portal. And it's a subject, frankly, that as soon as you venture down the road to talk about, people get excited because they've got evidence that this staff does a good job with it.
First things first, usually I'm behind this mic, and the camera's not up on me like it is.
So they can see the stash today.
So I did not, for the folks that know, I mean, you might not even be able to tell. I was going to shave the whole thing and start over, mm-hmm. and then Stephanie saw halfway through,
horrified.
Don't do that. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. So now it became just a mustache. I'm going to try to race to grow it back. But I've been told I look like Walter White with the glasses on.
Yeah, if you put the glasses on.
Absolutely.
Sure. Yeah.
And Gerald McCraney from Major Dad. Ira, do you like it? Because I think mustaches are making a comeback, but I don't know that I can pull off a mustache. I don't think I can pull off a mustache.
Well, I think the goatee looks better, but I think you do pull off the mustache. I'm going to give you credit.
Okay.
I would be the first to rip you.
Oh, I know you would.
But I got to tell you.
Well, you did laugh when I walked in.
In his absence, I will be the first to rip you.
Thank you.
Or May 2nd, because I think Stephanie
already voiced. Did. Shanna did. My mom did. Zoe, Tim Linnefelt's wife, saw me last night and recoiled in horror.
Oh, man.
So that wasn't a great feeling.
Here's the thing. So to me, though, it is about the – you're right. Mustaches are making a comeback.
Right.
A lot of young
Is that true?
Dudes. Oh, yeah. Dude. The young guys, they're all about the mustaches.
I just haven't been paying attention,
I guess. But, yeah, I'm not a fan. So I want
I appreciate
you to, I want
the
you
honesty.
To grow it back.
Okay.
I want you to grow
all right.
it back.
But my goatee part is so much grayer than the top part.
Yeah.
I think I lost 14 years.
Nobody's
shaving.
No,
okay,
nobody.
Right.
No.
I still look the same.
You still look the same.
Yeah.
I don't let these haters derail your efforts. If you want to just keep the stash for a couple months, you do it.
All right.
I like it.
All right.
Here's the thing, though, man. Like, and have you ever worn facial hair?
Yeah, I had a beard years and years ago for about a month, and I can grow one, but I don't like it. It causes me to itch, and it just
drives
me nuts. Yeah,
that's why I don't do the whole beard.
I don't like to. Here's the deal. I can do the beard, but if I'm sweating, it pisses me off. I don't like it.
Yeah. The main reason I like the goatee is because I hate shaving this part of my face. I was constantly cutting my chin or my lip.
Yeah.
Just awful. I'm not nimble enough to pull it off. Anyway, let's get back to the topic.
Yeah, the transfer portal and how they've done.
All right, I want to talk about that, I guess.
They have fulfilled their needs numerous times with not just players that are good fill-ins, but really plus players, oftentimes turn into their best players, their very best players. And, you know, because of that, you feel fairly armed and prepared to go out there and fill needs that you're going to need to sustain this success because there ain't no going back.
We're going back.
You've tasted 9-3.
Yeah.
We're not going back to these 5-7 seasons, guys. This is no more. So what are you going to have to do that? Well, I think you got to get deeper and more talented and better and bigger on the defensive line. I think you got to do it at linebacker, and I think they could use some help in the secondary.
We're starting with
defense.
But what are the numbers? Like, that's the real question. What are the numbers you're trying to get? Because I think you could get up to four defensive linemen. Like, if Verse goes two, I'm bringing in four.
I'm not against it, man. I think when you look at the elite
there's
teams,
nobody coming back that you're like, that dude is definitely going to be a starter and a good ACC starter.
I think Patrick Payton will be.
Patrick Payton too. So, but that's one defensive end.
But you're not deep there to your point. Yeah. You're not. And not with plus players. You may have adequate players right now, but you don't have difference makers that are coming back. Like looking at a guy, you go, he's dominant. They don't have that.
Well, and the reality is, if we're gonna get real here.
All right, let's go.
Let's get real.
Love Robert Cooper. Love Fabian Lovett. They did a great job for them. But in general, if you're going to get where you want to get to, you're not going to have a lot of fourth and fifth year defensive linemen. You need guys who are 3-year defensive linemen.
Guys that are going to the league.
That's where you want to get to. And I think, you know, Coach Henshaw and Henshaw's house that I posted today at warchant.com, he made a good point. He said, man, the goal now in the portal needs to be a little different. It's not just about getting competent players. He thinks they should be looking at guys who are going to be top 3-round picks.
Yeah.
As you're looking in the portal now,
I agree.
You've had success. It's not just about getting guys.
And it could be a 1-year rental. I mean, like Jermaine Johnson was, and you'd like the guys to be true sophomores when you get them, but
it'd be great. But most of those guys are already snatched up by really successful programs. Occasionally you get lucky, like they did with Jermaine Johnson, who came over from Georgia. You don't expect to get players like that. But yeah, I think that's the area where you're most concerned, because the good offenses they faced were able to run on them. They were able to move the football. And Will Shipley ran all over them, and that's annoying.
And people could say, well, they didn't have Fabian. Well, it's like, all right, but one guy shouldn't make your whole defense.
That's the point that we're making, is they're lacking depth. They don't have quality depth.
Well, but, yeah, so the question is, okay, so how many spots do you anticipate them being able to get out of the portal? And then, because I don't know if it's going to be 10 or 12. If it's 7 or 8.
Yeah, then which ones do you prioritize?
I really don't think other than maybe an offensive lineman. You don't need to do much on offense, right?
I'd get a tight end, maybe.
A tight end and a lineman.
Golly, if you could get an actual good tight end, wouldn't that be
something?
How about
the kid out of Shorter College in Georgia? He's 6'7", went in the portal last week, and everybody is offering him.
Let's go.
Come on.
Can you imagine?
From Shorter to Florida State?
Let's go.
Let's do this. Come on, baby.
But he visited this past weekend, apparently went really well, but everybody in the country wants him.
Throw the money at him. Let's go.
A tight end and an offensive lineman. Probably that's it.
I don't know how you could watch this offense as a talented tight end and not be like, I want to go play there.
Correct.
Like Cam McDonald was third on the team in receiving. And Cam McDonald's a tight end.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of his catches were pretty wide open.
Yeah. Now imagine a special dude running wide open that makes a couple people miss and bounce off him. And he had 9 touchdowns. He could have 9 touchdowns. Like that's. They're throwing Pat. Mark Easton Douglas had like 200 yards receiving.
I like Mark Easton Douglas.
Preston Daniel had to get tackled when he went out on a route.
Man. Yeah, but that was a big guy that set up the fourth down run, kept that drive going. It's a big catch by my man. But yeah, so I think one offensive lineman, one tight end. You also got to remember Winston Wright basically serves as another transfer wide receiver coming.
No, you're good. That's why we're saying we want to concentrate over here on the defensive side of the ball.
Now Preston in the chat points out, Bless Harris is coming back. So if you get him back at tackle.
Maybe Caden Lyles.
Like Julian Armella,
I keep telling you, the offensive line is going to be better next year.
You probably just need one. If there's one dude that you can go get. Bless Harris was a starter. He was your starting tackle.
Yeah, so you lost him before you could even get started. Yeah.
And then Caden Lyles might be back. We don't know. I think you like you said, the younger guys. And you've got guards. I do.
Yeah.
The defense. I think you need a linebacker or two. And I think you need 3 or 4 defensive linemen. And I mean good ones. Like Ira was saying, good ones, like game changers.
Yeah, dominant figures. If you're going to win the ACC and compete to get into the college football playoff.
Well, your offense should be good enough to do just that if you can get a competent defense.
And that's what I want people to understand, is that we're not saying, hey, let's go get this guy and this guy because we're just hoping to win 10 games. You've now established yourself as a program that is on the rise. You're off of 9 wins. Now you want to win the conference.
Yeah.
Next goal is to win the ACC, and maybe what goes along with winning the ACC is a spot in the playoff, but you got to win the conference first. You got to wrestle that away from Clemson. The time is now. I think that the shine is off that program a little bit at Clemson. You got to take advantage of it. You just swept the state. You should see an uptick in recruiting, and hopefully you're able to cash it in with transfer portal players that are plug-and-play guys right now. I agree. I would go 3 defensive linemen. I would look seriously at a couple linebackers, and then from there you can find out what's available and kind of judge
what about
your assets.
What about safety? I mean, you feel good about Shaheem Brown.
I like Shaheem Brown a lot, yeah.
We don't know what Akeem Dent's going to do, and that's probably up in the air, but Jamie Robinson's clearly leaving. So just you know, do you need another safety there, or do you feel like there's anybody that we've seen?
Well, I think they have a kid that they want to play safety who doesn't want to play safety, which is probably why there's a little bit of sulking going on.
I was going to say, yeah, I think McCall's the guy they want at safety. Yeah. So, to me,
now that the season's over and whatever frustrations people have, they can sit down. They have the end of the year meetings with their coaches. Okay, this is what you do.
Do you have them now, or do you have them after the bowl?
But maybe you may want to have one with Sam.
Yeah, you rush.
You may want to have one with Sam sooner rather than later. And I'll get to that contribution in a minute, but. To me, that's an area where you sit down and say, son, don't you think I have your best interest in mind? I mean, you could play in the league at safety. I mean, I know you think that you're a corner, and maybe you are in some places, but not here. We need you at safety. I mean, I don't know what you
– It works with some guys that it doesn't work with. Right. Xavier Rhodes wanted to play wide receiver. Xavier Rhodes was still kind of complaining about not playing wide receiver when he was becoming an all-ACC cornerback.
He's an all-ACC cornerback. Yeah. You're in the NFL league.
But other guys – James Wilder's a guy that some people wanted at linebacker, and I don't think he had any interest at all in ever leaving running back. So it's just some guys just don't have an interest in switching positions.
Timothy, thanks so much. That's awfully kind of you. He writes, hello from Tennessee. The game was awesome. What bowl game do you guys think we will go to? Me and my group want to meet Corey
got
to meet Corey on the way into the stadium. It was awesome. Also, hope to meet the rest of the crew next time. I have the broken ankle, Corey.
Timmy D, I remember you, buddy. You don't have to remind me. Yeah, he's being kind of – well, he wasn't being wheeled in. He was on a scooter kind of walking very slowly with the whole clan. And I know Timmy D. Yeah. He's a contributor all the time, man. He's awesome.
Yeah.
So that was cool, man. And I really did think about all these fans that come from all these – you know, it's one thing to come from Ocala, which is still a drive, or, you know, Central Florida.
I'm not feeling any bad for somebody driving from Ocala.
But Michigan and Tennessee and all these other places, it's really cool they get to come in and get to celebrate and have
just
a night like that.
Just to see you, really.
Well, I mean, look, the game is irrelevant almost. It's an afterthought. They got to run into me.
It's a cherry on top
type thing. They got to meet Corey Clark.
Timothy, I think they're going to go to the Cheez-It Bowl. I still think that's where they're going
to
end up.
I don't like you constantly trying to speak that into being. I'm tired of it.
Where do you want to go?
Anywhere but Orlando. San Diego, San Antonio. Man,
what are the odds that Jeff would go to the bowl game?
I think this year I'm going.
No matter where it is? For what purpose?
I was already told by Gene when we were doing keg stands that he wanted to do some JCS shows from the location of the bowl.
San Diego.
That's because Gene thinks it's going to be in the state of Florida.
Yeah, I was going to say, Gene might change that.
Well, Gene's already committed. Gene, you've already committed,
It's a handshake.
If we do this in Frankfurt, Germany, you got to fly me. I mean, that's
Gene's
where we're
handshake
going.
Is as good as oak.
Yeah, there we go. So, I mean, you think it's going to be the Cheez-It Bowl?
I mean, a lot of things can happen.
I would be upset, and not just because I don't think I'd go if it was in San Diego. I probably wouldn't.
I'd have to
drug myself and fly.
You would do it.
But
San Diego.
I just think, man, you're going to have – in San Diego, you'd have, 1,400 Florida State fans would get to watch that game.
I'm not worried about other fans.
But I know you're not. I'm talking to the people listening.
Weren't there a good number of FSU fans at the Emerald Bowl?
Yes.
I mean, a good number would be
55,000? You'd have 55,000 in Jacksonville. You'd have 50,000 in Orlando. That, to me, is a lot cooler way to celebrate this season than, 8,000 fans in San Diego.
Some people are down on Orlando because you start the next season in Orlando.
Who cares?
And plus, Orlando sucks. So let's go. Let's go somewhere that doesn't suck.
Yeah. I mean, either way is a step up from Shreveport and El Paso.
Is there a city in this state you don't hate?
Oh, no. I have love
and
hate for a lot of them.
That's a great question, Ira.
That's not true. That's not true.
It was a great question. I don't know if your answer is going to be great.
I don't hate Miami. I hate the University of, but I don't hate Miami. There are spots all over Miami that I enjoy. They're ritzy spots. They're nice spots.
Of course.
They're not where Ira grew up.
Your taste.
Yeah, but
how was the salmon, by the way? How was the salmon?
Oh, couldn't have been better, buddy. You should have come over and gotten some of that.
I didn't get an invitation.
Well, you threw it out the window.
You would have spit on the salmon. I wasn't going to let you come over.
I would have mocked you.
Yeah, you would
have taken pictures in Sweden.
Jeff, let me get you some of that salmon you got there, buddy. Oh. It's tremendous.
Speaking of which, though, when are we going to get the photos of us hugging your dad? Let us hug your old man.
I thought you even took a picture of it. He even kissed my forehead.
I've got 8 pictures of it.
But we can't see him?
Well,
we got to pay?
I got to tell you, you can see him. You'll see him during the break. Ira, I was looking out for you.
Oh, okay, I appreciate that.
I was looking out for you.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm just telling you. There's 2 that I love that I will frame in the house.
Okay.
If you two hug,
I'd like
my
one
old
on
man.
My fridge.
Yeah, and all it's right. Yeah. But then I was like, man, I was gonna post them at the same time that I posted the cake stand. And I was like, Let me talk to my guy.
Yeah, mm. we don't.
Let me talk to my guy because angles matter.
Sure,
you know, and that's all I'm
Understood.
Saying. Seminole Headlines 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV continues in a moment.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schoffel, and Corey Clark.
So it is exciting, though, when we talk about the players that, or the players we hope they get and speculative and all that. It's just, it's good that you have faith in the staff because they've proven to you that they can go out and assess players
yeah.
that are going to fit in your culture.
It's going to be different now, though, because you feel like it's going to be a higher caliber of portal player. Like, not that the guys they didn't get weren't high caliber, but they were certainly not proven. Like, I feel like you're going to get more ability to get proven guys.
Yeah, and it's going to be, there's less players that can help, but there's better players are going to be more interested in Florida State. The guys that have been interested in Florida State, for the most part, have been guys that didn't have a lot to lose.
Yeah.
Jermaine Johnson's probably the closest thing. He probably took the biggest leap.
Yeah, he had 7.5 sacks at Georgia, right?
I mean, yeah, he had 5, but I mean, he played. He was in the rotation.
Yeah. Yeah. On the best defense in the country. He was still going to get drafted pretty high. If he came to Florida State and it was a dumpster fire, that could have hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
Most of these other guys were kind of on the bargain rack. I mean, it wasn't like they had a ton of other great options. So now you're going to be in the
Except
mix for guys
Verse,
who
right?
do.
Verse was probably, the most high-profile transfer they got. He came from Albany.
You're right. But
everybody wanted him.
Yeah.
But most of the other guys, were not competing with the best of the best.
Well, now you are.
Yeah, the guys you're going to want now, everybody's going to want them.
Yeah, and so you're gonna see just how strong Florida State's NIL is. You're going to find out what they're prioritizing. Remember, fellas, it's an independent collective. So how could they know what Mike Norvell wants? I mean, it's just up in the air.
You hope it all lines up.
Somehow the information gets out there.
They read War Chant.
They read. They're on the boards.
Passing in the night. Maybe I'm like giving letters from one to the other. I'm like, you know,
yeah.
Read later.
Like a spy in World War II.
Yeah, just like drop a letter over there. Like, you may think that's a pack of cigarettes, but yeah. So anyhow. Yeah, I don't know. But the point would be, obviously they're going to have to identify. I'm curious to see, do you think Dillingham's being hired at Arizona State will affect this coaching staff? Do you think he goes after anybody within this coaching staff?
And this is not from any knowledge at all of
but
me
I like
talking
you to just
anything,
be really irresponsible and throw
just
some
go,
rumors
just
out
throw
there.
Some names
the,
out.
The only one I the only one I'd be concerned about really is just maybe Tony Tokars. Because
right.
Tony Tokars was really close to him. I think that there was an option for him to go to Oregon last year if he wanted to go. He chose to stay with Mike Norvell, who gave him the opportunity to come here. If Kenny Dillingham wants to be the play caller out there as head coach, then he may want a younger offensive coordinator that's on the same page with him and not somebody who wants to be the offensive coordinator. So that may line up for him. And if Tony Tokars has a chance to be an offensive coordinator at his age,
that's a huge leap forward.
That would be
right.
But so that would be one I'd be concerned about because that's there's a natural connection there more so. He's worked with Marcus Woodson at Auburn. I don't know if that's I don't know how close those connections
Tokars
are.
Tokars wouldn't leave for a lateral move. That's
but
not even lateral.
If he had a right
jump
to be
back.
OC.
But if he's the OC, then yes, right. that's a leap. That's a step.
If you're Kenny, I mean, you got to be pretty careful, man, because this is your first head coaching job, and you got to make sure if things don't go well from the beginning, people are going to be looking at your hires.
Yeah.
That's the first thing we do with Willie is
– start looking around at who did you bring in?
Greatness.
What were the odds that all these guys from Western Kentucky all needed to be at Florida State two or 3 years later?
Right. Now, it gets frustrating. Fans are like,
five or six years
I mean,
later.
It is Florida State. You could do better. Yeah. People begin to say that. Well, and Tokars,
Jimbo's OC is on the market now. He fired his OC, so he's got a chance.
The other
Daryl Dickey. Daryl Dickey, not
so
the
it was Daryl's fault, huh?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
He should have been laminating those play sheets all along.
Yeah.
His fault.
Yeah.
Do you think, like,
I don't even know if Daryl Dickey had the plays. Like he probably didn't even have the play sheet.
By the way, how do you think that went? like
the
so,
letting you go?
Well, A&M.
Well, man, the reality is the guy's been getting a lot of money for not doing anything.
Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't been the offensive coordinator. It's been Jimbo.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Jimbo has to fire him and look him straight in the eye, knowing damn well that it's Jimbo's fault.
The best thing, what I want Jimbo to do is I want him to give it to James Coley or Damian Craig.
Man. Yeah.
I'm hiring a new offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Well, I it will be fascinating to see who gets plucked, if anybody, off this staff. It's something to think about. I wanted to offer that up. And then I wonder if they're just going to be a couple guys maybe they make changes with. We'll see. Mike's now in a position where he's got stability. He was not when he was looking to make some changes on his staff the last time. I mean, he couldn't convince anybody that you were still going to be there the next year. So now we know he's not going anywhere. And I do wonder, when will we hear about what happens with Mike?
Yeah, I mean, I think they have to be on that pretty quickly if they haven't already. Because, you know, man, look, Jimmy Sexton is Jimmy Sexton, and he's going to do a great job in negotiating for his client. But on the other side, you have a Florida State administration who's going to be very willing and eager to lock up Mike Norvell. And that's going to be interesting to see. Like, what you see some of these numbers coming, these SEC schools, $9 million a year for Lane Kiffin and some of these other, it's insane what's happening salary-wise. And I don't think Norvell needs to get there overnight, but they do want to make sure, I mean, they've got a good thing going right now.
Norvell's got to be smiling ear to ear. Obviously, he's going to be in a good position financially. It is a glimpse of the problems you have if you stay in the ACC. It's just you're never going to be competitive for the coaches on the market with the SEC or the Big Ten.
Yeah, when the Missouri's paying their coach, who's not doing well, not doing great, almost twice as much as you're paying your guy right now. That's a good
example of the money we're talking about and the differential of what you get in the ACC compared to the Big Ten or the SEC is Matt Rhule getting hired by Nebraska. I talked to those Nebraska guys all year long, and one of the main guys he's like their version of Ira. He's in really good connections with the financial people, the athletic director, and all that, you know. And he was saying to me,
good-looking guy, is he? Is he as good looking as Ira, or
he can't have everything.
What are you gonna do? I mean, we got the guy. But
they broke the mold.
This guy told me, he's like, because Matt Rhule would have made $40 million to not coach this year, after Carolina fired him. $40 million to kind of sit around and think about what you want to do with the rest of your life. And so I said to them, well, you're going to have to guarantee him like 8 to 10 years, and it's going to have to be exorbitant for him to walk away from $40 million. And they're like, oh, well, that's not a problem.
Big
Ten money. They just fired a coach they got to pay a ton of money to on the heels of having fired another coach that they had to pay a ton of money to. And they'll give this guy, it turned out to be an 8-year deal, and like six of that's guaranteed, and it's a huge salary.
Yeah, and the problem, the
Florida
challenge
State for, doesn't have that kind of money.
No, they don't. But the problem, the challenge for Florida State right now is, look, they made a big investment in football before this season. They went out and gave Mike Norvell the opportunity to bring in a lot more support staff, scouting people, recruiting people, analysts.
Yep.
They really beefed up the staff. And so they're committed. Their Florida State's administration is all in on helping Florida State football get to where it needs to be, because we all expect some sort of reckoning at some point where maybe you have an option to not be in the ACC anymore. And so you want to be in that forefront. And because of the way everything ended with Jimbo and the way Florida State was painted as just being cheap, you can't have this guy have some success and leave. So from that standpoint, Florida State has to be in a position where they're going to be very aggressive keeping Mike Norvell happy. On the other side, though, I think they're lucky, because Mike Norvell does not seem – look, we all want as much
Everybody
money as we
wants
can
to get paid, yeah.
But I don't think that's his main driving force. Because the reason I say that is, when the pandemic happened, the first coach that really offered to give up a lot of his salary was Mike Norvell. And that kind of created a situation where several of the top coaches gave large percentages of their salary back during the COVID time. Mike Norvell was at the front of the list. I mean, he took a $1 million pay cut to you know, just to help the athletic department. So I don't think if you have that mindset that you're going to turn around and be like pushing for every last penny.
Well, yeah, Mike likes it here, first of all. He knows he can win here, and I think he genuinely likes being at Florida State. When he talks about that, it's a smart thing to talk about, first of all. For any coach to say that publicly, say it as often as you can, because fans eat that up, and they give more money to your program because they think you love it as much as they do. But I think he's also telling the truth that he likes being here. And he knows, obviously, this is a place where you can win national titles. So where are you going? The Ole Miss job? Well, you make more money, but guess what? You're not winning a damn thing.
And you'll be out of a job in 4 years because they always are.
So I do think he wants to be here.
And some coaches want the biggest salary they can get because of the respect factor. Like they want to be seen as the prestige. And I really felt like that was a big deal with Jimbo. That I don't think is going to be the same thing with Mike Norvell. I think his goal is to win a national title, like you said. Getting your every penny out of from that pool for your salary may not be the best way to get
it. Well, you see a lot of smart guys. Not at Florida State, right? And you see a lot of smart guys even in the pros. So, for example, I mean, I know it's not like he doesn't get enough praise, but Tom Brady took pay cuts for years for the salary cap situation in New England. To work out where they could have – he wanted good players. He wants to win the Super Bowl. You're like, well, if I don't make an extra million this year and we can bring in a linebacker that's going to help us win the Super Bowl, I'll do that. I'm already rich as hell.
Yeah.
You know, it's a smart way to operate. Wait, like Alex Atkins, I think he knows, is a superstar in this business. You'd like not to lose Alex Atkins. So if – I need to make $5.8 million instead of $6.4 so that I can pay Alex Atkins.
Well,
I'm going
to
do
that. And we talked about this on Wake Up War Chant because Aslan's like, you're going to have to pay him like $7, $8 million. I'm like, man, if you do that, okay, Mike Norvell, great. You make $7.5 million. Well, we can't pay Alex Atkins to stay. And good luck getting any NIL deals because it all comes from kind of the same pool, right?
Totally unrelated.
What do you mean? Yes, right. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's booster money. Our boosters, Florida State fans, are giving money to the program to help the football program. Now, if you're taking the biggest gob of it, great. You did it. You're going to be fired in 2 years because you're not going to have any players.
That is correct. Yeah, no, I think he gets that. So that's something that should ease tension and nerves as we move forward.
So go give that kid, the Illinois defensive lineman that I love, give him, I don't know, man, Mike, give him just a tenth of your salary. That's all it's going to take, just one tenth.
It's not coming out of Mike's pocket. It's going to work out.
Coming out of the same spout, right?
They're going to be all right.
I know.
They're going to be all right. So that situation is a good one for Florida State because just 2 years ago it wasn't. 2 years ago you didn't know was Florida State going to have a competitive situation with NIL. Could they compete with anybody? You didn't know that Florida State had the money and was committed in the way that they are currently committed. I think you're absolutely right, Ira, when you say that they recognize the perception of this situation. It's important they get this right, you know, so that nobody – ever again wonders if Florida State is truly committed from a facility standpoint, financial standpoint with the coaches, truly committed to winning in football. They have to be. They're all in. They've anteed up. They know. This is it. This is what butters the bread, baby. You got to find a way to win in football.
And the nice thing is they can go into it with conviction of believing he's the guy because sometimes what happens is
you get stronger.
There's another offer out there and you feel like, okay, we can't take a chance here. We can't go through another. So we've got to pay up.
But I don't love him.
But I'm not sure he's the guy.
Yeah. Right, right.
Because of the way this team has been built, I believe there's got to be conviction that he is the guy. This isn't a situation where you brought in Hendon Hooker and you had a big season. I mean,
it's the DNA. It's the foundation.
Yeah, he's doing here without a lot of superstars.
It's also why you believe that you will retain a lot of your players. Like, I know now that Florida State's in a position to where they're getting more talented players, that you then worry about people plucking guys from your roster. We haven't had to worry about that. Nobody wanted Florida State's players. They weren't any good. Now they're like, oh, well, that guy's good. That guy's really good. Maybe we need him. Like, the same thing that Florida State's doing to everybody else. Well, that's where if you've created a really good culture in a locker room that people want to be in and around, maybe they're not so apt to take the first best deal that they get if you're in the ballpark, right? If you're in the ballpark of roster retention money and then you get offered to go somewhere else and you're like, but I really like it here. Right. He has created something that you can build upon because I do believe that foundation is legit.
And if you're, like you've been saying, if the NIL is getting into a better place, then at least those players will know those opportunities are there.
Yeah. I don't know. When you think about this roster, who is the most appealing NIL candidate for another school? Because their best players are all transfers that can't go anywhere.
I think there's a lot of younger guys that, I mean, I think Rodney Hill.
But what's Rodney Hill getting, like, NIL-wise? Like, he's not, like, Alabama's not coming for Rodney Hill.
I mean,
so who comes
not
for
him? $1 million, but yeah, the mid-level schools. I mean, back in the days when cheating was rampant in college sports, college basketball, when it was there's a lot of it now, but there have been times where it was worse.
It pays off too. Ask Kansas.
A lot of times it's the mid-major schools that are doing a lot because, I mean, think about Cam Newton and Auburn. I mean, it wasn't the top school in the country. It was Auburn.
$180,000. Think what a deal that was.
Oh, my
good
Lord.
Grief. But no, but I mean, it's still
so
like.
So it may not be for those guys at that level, it may not be $1 million deal, but there's probably a lot of guys getting offers for six figures.
I mean, maybe.
Julian Armella.
But yeah, Julian Armella would maybe be the one guy. Like, I'm just trying to think of it.
Payton.
Like, Florida State's in a really good spot right now where all their best players are transfers. And I don't think this might be the last year they're in this spot where I don't think there's going to be a swarm of big time. Like, yeah, go transfer to UAB because they paid you $180,000. Great, man. Enjoy your career because you can't go anywhere else now. Florida State's still a destination spot, and they've got young players that haven't accomplished anything. So they're not really going
to
be.
Yeah, they're in a good position right now. It's going to start
to
happen.
I don't think they're going to be rated. I think they'll be
right.
rated after next year. They could be. That's what you'd worry about is the negotiations you have to get into next year with these. Because none of the great players, like good players on your team, not many of them this year that contributed to a lot of wins were homegrown guys.
Right. Trey Benson's can't go anywhere. He just came over from Oregon. You're in good position there. I agree.
Some of them, the guys that have graduated, can.
That's true.
I mean, Jordan Travis could. He could.
Well, he better not.
If he's graduated, he could.
He better not. That would. But what a stake in the heart that would be,
Ira. I'm just
Ira.
Saying, guys who have, if you got your degree, you can go.
I agree, and Jordan could get, and he would get, and feel.
Let's not even talk about it. Don't even put it out there.
Florida State, the independent collective is going to take care
don't
of Jordan
Travis. Don't put
that even
out there, man.
It's going to be okay, man. Also, if you're Jordan Travis, it's kind of worked out because your play caller is really good, and
yeah,
he
man.
Stuck by you, and, you know, come on. I don't think he's going anywhere. He'll be a preseason, all-ACC, perhaps Heisman contender as they go into next year.
Amen.
He's not going anywhere. Hour number two, headliner questions forthcoming. Stay with us.